Welkom bij deze aflevering van Code en Carrière. Deze podcast is speciaal voor iedereen die carrière maakt in de IT of carrière wil gaan maken in dit vakgebied. We interviewen experts, starters en ondernemers uit de IT en professionals die je kunnen ondersteunen in andere delen van je carrière. Mijn naam is Maartje, ik ben dagvoorzitter en oprichter van Family, een community voor young professional vrouwen in de IT. Ik wens je ontzettend veel luisterplezier. Anouk Eimers is People and Culture Advisor at PacMed, a medical technical startup. Previously, she worked as People Operations Specialist at Recruity, a recruitment software company. In this episode, we ask her how to get the job. Hi, Anouk.
Hi, nice to see you.
For the record, you are Dutch, but you wanted to record this podcast in English. So therefore, this episode will be in English. Hey, both companies you've worked for so far are in tech. Is that a specific area of interest, or did it happen by chance?
Actually, it did happen by chance. I must say, of course, it's very interesting. But with the role that I had at Recruity, I just rolled into it. I really liked the role and the responsibilities there. So that's what made me say yes to the job eventually. I do think it's a very interesting industry to be in. Given all the developments and everything that's happening.
Yeah, you said you rolled into it. How did you find and land on your first job?
So actually, they reached out to me.
Wow.
That's how I got to know Recruity. And yeah, it was a really nice match back at the time. And yeah, that's how it went.
And for PacMed, because you're now working at PacMed, how did you find and land on that role?
So actually, I first applied somewhere else and they knew PacMed had an open position there. And they thought I would be a good fit for the role as People and Culture Advisor. So then I went into the interviews, which were really nice. I think the mission that we have is super interesting, very social. And it's really nice to work together as a team, driven by one goal, basically. So that's how I got there.
And what do you do as People and Culture Advisor?
So my responsibilities as People and Culture Advisor are, on the one hand, operational things, anything related to people operations, basically. So payroll, contracts, making sure, of course, that everything is going, that people are happy if they have requests or things that need to be done. Of course, we have several providers that we work with, so I'm also in touch with them, such as OpenUp or ClassPass. And then there's also other ongoing projects there. So just to give an example, we... of course, have systems that we use. We implement new things. I need to think of another one. And of course, there's also a part office management that we do. And we do recruitment there as well.
Cool. My assumption is that if you're in HR, then your cover letter or application must be very good. Was it?
I don't know. I think you should ask the companies that I apply to. I do really like to make a good CV and cover letter. So
how do you do that?
I try to make them personal to me. So make sure that my personality and the things that I find important are very clear. I make use of Canva. So Canva really helps you also with the design and that sort of stuff. I really like to also experiment with those kind of things. And of course, make them personal for the jobs that you apply for. I think the more interviews you do, or at least the more interviews that I did, the clearer it also became for me what are the things that I find important, what are the things that I'm looking for, what are the things that I like. So basically every application that I do, I also already really want to be super motivated for the role and that is visible in my CV and cover letter.
Is it also important in IT design? Because most people working in IT are not the strongest in design.
I don't think it's the most important thing, definitely.
But you do
not.
Stand out. That's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I think so. I think a pop of color really makes it shine a bit more. Mm-hmm. I do think that also really suits to who I am. Mm-hmm. So do find, of course, something that you also feel comfortable with, because at the end of the day, I think that's most important. That mm-hmm. that is, you know, that you want to come across as you really are and that you feel comfortable with that. And I think the bottom line is that the CV is just clear, that it's easily readable, that the most important information for that specific role is standing out, because, yeah, there's a lot of CVs, of course, coming in and a lot of things to screen through. So, yeah, make sure that the most important information is clear and visible.
Yeah. And LinkedIn. I think that recruiters nowadays also take a look at your LinkedIn. How do you make your LinkedIn profile more personal?
Good question. I personally also really love to use LinkedIn and just experiment with that too. I think the bio is really helpful. So a little thing about yourself, just a few sentences is even enough. And I think also the use of emojis there, for example, is very helpful because it does make you stand out a little bit more. Make sure that you use the right words, because I think recruiters also use those to search on it. So if you want to go into a certain direction, make sure that those words are mentioned in your profile so people can find you that way.
Yeah. I am good to say that I just launched an e-course about LinkedIn on the Family platform. That course is about like deciding your target audience. Are you talking to recruiters or potential clients? Setting up your profile, depending on that target audience, because your target audience is the audience you have to talk to. Building connections and deciding what to post and writing posts. And what I have seen in the last 2 years that I'm active on LinkedIn, is that the more personal posts work best. So if you write in your own style and make it authentic and be personal, then that post will have far more reach than just boring information and other stuff.
I mean, I think that makes sense. I think hopefully when you do those kind of things, people can relate to it as well. 'Cause,
yeah.
If you experience something personally, there might be others that experience something similar. So I could see why those things actually resonate with people and get maybe a bit more interaction.
Yeah, and it's easier to read than informal stuff.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Hey, and then first interview. How should one approach that?
Oh, okay. So I need to think about this because it's been a while for myself as well. Do your research.
I saw that you do the first interviews at PacMed. Is that correct?
Yeah, so I do the screening calls there for most of the roles. Yeah, be prepared. So do know the company that you're applying for, what they do. Try to just explore a little or search a little bit on LinkedIn, Google, their website. So that you have a little bit of background information, but also that if you have any questions, write them down for yourself. I think that's also very good. Even just a question, how do you enjoy working at PacMed or whatever company, I think is a really good one. Just to have at least one question at the end.
Should you use that first interview also for your own questions? Or should you keep that for later?
No, I think, I mean, at least the way that I approach them, I think interview should be an open conversation. It should be, we are getting to know you and you are getting to know us. So I think that should definitely go both ways. So do ask any questions. And I mean, that's also what I say when I do the interviews. Do ask any questions if you have them. You know, way of working, how's the office? How often do people come to the office? Anything you want to know, really. So yeah, be prepared, do some research, have some questions if you have them. I think those are the two most important things.
Most people also have questions about salary. I bet. Is it also something that you bring up to in the first interview, or when should you start discussing negotiating about salary?
No, of course, this makes complete sense. And I think, yeah, we have it as part of our process, and I hope a lot more companies do, because it's important. And otherwise, definitely bring it up.
And part of your process, what do you mean by that?
So we will bring it up. We will ask about indications, but then also, of course, explain how we work with the salaries that we offer.
Okay, so you bring it up in the first interview, or you bring up a range. You're very transparent about it.
Yes, I think that's important as well. So that we both know what to expect, so from both sides, and that we can also have a conversation about that. And of course, if there's things that are not aligned, that we can also work that out.
Do you think most companies have a range instead of just a number? Do you think there's room for negotiating, discussing? What do you think?
I think so. But that's just my own personal view on that. I think there's always, I mean, they might have one number in mind, but I do think there's ranges that they use, because I think it really depends on the candidate and how much experience they have and what they bring. So in that regard, I think it makes a lot of sense to have ranges, because, well, different experience brings a different number. And of course, all the other stuff that you bring.
Did you negotiate at your interview?
A little bit, but not a lot. I must say I'm not the best at this myself. So there's definitely a learning curve still to go there.
What do you find hard about negotiating?
To be fair, I think it's really important that I have a job that I like. So I really go for the role and the responsibilities. And I'm just not really comfortable to say, okay, this is what I want. And then fully go for it. Most of
Did you know what you wanted? Or do you know what you're worth?
And they weren't too far off. So I was like, okay, fine. you know, they probably thought about it. And the benefit, I mean, I think it's also important to look at the rest of the package, right? So of course you have the salary, but then I think the secondary benefits are very good to look at too. What do those entail? And also, where are you going to work? Because at the end of the day, you will spend most of your time at work. So I prefer really to choose the company where maybe the salary is a bit less, but where I really see myself working with a lot of joy and happiness, compared to maybe where I got more money and I'm a little bit less enthusiastic maybe about the job.
Yeah. Talking about those benefits, you introduced ClassPass at Recruity, and now also at PacMed, you said?
Yeah, we do use it. I did not introduce it here, but we do use it.
You do use it. That's a kind of subscription for taking various fitness classes, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
What are your favorite secondary benefits?
Good question. What are my own favorite ones? I mean, I must honestly say I do really like ClassPass. I use it a lot myself. And I think combined with that is that we have a lot of flexibility, actually. So, for example, this morning I did a Pilates class with ClassPass. And that's really nice. I really love that. So the flexibility to me is such a benefit.
Is it a must or is it a benefit?
A must or a benefit?
Yeah.
For me, it's almost a must. This is really something I would, you know, have on my checklist.
I think most employees would have nowadays.
I think so too. Yeah, I think that really, really changed over the years. Yeah.
What are more absolute essential benefits an employer must have? Working from home, for example, is it a must?
I think so. I think it goes hand in hand with the flexibility. You have the flexibility to choose where you work from and that sort of stuff. So I think that's really important. Of course, your holidays, but We have a little bit extra where you can also swap your public holidays for the not standard Christian ones, which I think is really nice. So you offer that too. What
does Pac-Man have any surprising benefits, or have you heard of any friends who work at companies that have any surprising benefits?
Ooh, good question. I mean, what we have at Pac-Man,
because you can you can go very far in funny things.
What I really like is that we have extra parental leave, and I need to say this correctly. So we offer extra leave for partners and extra leave for mothers too.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really nice. So that you also have a balance there. Because often you see, I think, that they do offer additional pay for the partner leave. But we also decided to include the mothers, and I think that's really nice. And also we have, and I've seen this at other companies too, a budget for when people are working with us for 5 years. So they get a budget to spend on a bucket list thing. So they
can go
traveling.
And it can be anything.
But it can be anything, yes.
Cool. So if you want to go skydiving, bungee jumping, then you're free to go.
Yes, cool. Those are really good ideas, by the way. So, yeah.
Do you already know what you would like to do?
Oof. No. No, I still have a few more years.
You have time, right?
I can still think about it. Yeah.
Cool. As people and culture advisor, have you seen practices at companies that make you think, oh no, this is absolutely not acceptable?
Yeah, of course. I have heard many stories also from friends, so people that are really close to me. And I must also say, things happen, so that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always fun, but... I think there's companies where there's maybe a little bit pressure on a lot of things, or people aren't heard when they're speaking up, or the reply to when people are speaking up is not really empathetic or ignored. I think those kind of things are, of course, not very nice. Or where boundaries are not accepted when you set them. I think those kind of things really influence your experience as an employee, but also your mental health. And I think it's really important to always keep that in mind for yourself as well. I'm thinking, of course, I've heard of stuff.
At my previous job, a month after I started, they removed the women's restroom. So they made all restrooms gender neutral because, like, I was the only woman there
among
six men or so. And at the time, I didn't think much of it, though I appreciated having a women's restroom, but I still don't really mind about they doing that. But when I share this anecdote with others, they often are quite shocked about that there wasn't a women's restroom anymore. What do you think about that?
Oof, good question. I think it's also, I don't know how they communicated it to you. If they talked to you before, since you were also the only woman there, they could have asked you before. I don't know if they did. So I think it's, and it's also about like, okay, so why did they do that? I think it's also about the reasoning behind it. Because at the end of the day, even if it's one person, you do want to also make them happy at your
company. They didn't talk to me about it, they just did. But they did it because I was the only woman, so they had to share one toilet with the six of them while I had my own. That was the reason.
Okay. Yeah, that mixed feelings, I think. I also wonder, like, what would be the impact if you would have just kept it that way, you know?
Impact wasn't big. I didn't really mind. Hey, Anouk, what are your goals for next year? Do you have any?
Oh my God. work-wise, of course I want to grow in my role. That's definitely one. I know that there's also a few projects coming up that I will be leading. So that's very exciting, I think. Just taking more ownership is one of my personal goals in the projects. So I think that's mainly it. And I mean, I've said it before, I think, in one of my posts, but it's also still so tough to find the things that you're good at, but also the things that you like. So for me, this is really also a continuous journey where I'm like, okay, what do I like? What do I enjoy doing? But what are the things that I'm good at? And how can I combine those two? What can I focus on? So that's also really one of the things.
And you use LinkedIn to find out?
Well, partially. I mean, I do really like the writing. So that's also a creative side of myself.
Because I did that as well. I just posted online and then figure out later what my goals were.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I use posting as a mean to reach, to get to know what I want.
Yeah. I do think that's very helpful indeed. And I think just writing is also reflecting and like journaling and that sort of stuff. So in that regards, it really helps. I think in my role, it's also a lot of doing, trying on different projects, different responsibilities to see, what you really like.
And on, and independent of the company you're working for, what are your goals career-wise? Do you have any?
I think it's very much in line with what I just said. So for now, I'm really happy. And I can do everything of my goals within the company. And then at the same time, I do definitely want to continue LinkedIn, continue writing, and use my creative side there as well. And then we'll see. I don't know. There's so much to learn. I think there's also a lot of shift in the HR field. So there's a lot of things popping up. And I think it's really interesting just to say on top of that too, and to see what trends are happening.
Nice. Thank you very much, Anouk, for participating in this podcast.
Wacht nog heel even, want ik ben op zoek naar mensen die carrière maken in de IT, hun netwerk willen uitbreiden, bijvoorbeeld met gasten van deze podcast, en carrièrekansen willen benutten op de onderwerpen die we hier bespreken. Ben jij dat? Sluit je dan aan bij Family via www.itfamily.nl of volg mij, Maartje, op LinkedIn. Tot de volgende aflevering!